I'm here with Tenny Gross, Executive Director of the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence. Tenny, your organization focuses on bringing gang violence down through outreach, working in schools, hospitals, and on the streets. Providence sees a rise in crime in the summer months. Based on what your people are hearing, what's happening in the summer that causes that increase in all sorts of crime, not just violent ones?
Well, usually schools are out. People have more time, idle time. It's hot. Some people don't stay in their houses if they don't have air conditioning, etc. There's more opportunities to seek your opponents, to get into trouble, to drink. Maybe it's hard, cool yourself down, and then you do really silly choices with females and males, with other people, with rival get into fights. So we see a spike usually in the summer.
So we're looking at crime in Providence through the lens of what happened last July, where crime happened and what changed. And what police data found was that the highest number of crimes happened in the Smith Hill, Elmhurst, North End neighborhoods. But that was last year. Now we're hearing from you and your people that gang violence is down in that area. So what happened over the past year?
We had a collusion of a few things. We had two gangs that partially were, some of them were Africans that were finishing off really a few years of conflict, and that was sort of the tail end of that. You have sometimes students who are lingering, and that generates its own issues. And then just really a few individuals. Sometimes there was a bit of a spark potentially also with the old rivalry with around Camp Street area, which has died down. It's nothing compared to what Chad and the East Side used to be, and there was a little bit of that. And that's sort of what we saw.
Old beefs being settled and people moving on?
Yes, and also we had a bit of two Asian gangs, Laos Pride and Asian Boys, AB, around Smith Hill. That's something we worked very hard on in the last 8-7 years. And we got good results, and there was a bit of a flare-up. I'm glad that this year it's been a lot quieter. Someone came out of jail last year, and it sort of re-erupted. It was one person, but it got two groups ignited. That's all it needs. And it took us a few months to calm it down, us, the police, and others to calm it down. We got a few of the young people from there hired and actually moved out of state on jobs. So it takes a little planning and a little seeing what is the conflict about, who is involved, what drives it, who drives it. And between the police making their arrests when they can and us offering opportunities when people are willing, between those two, it calmed down again.
So if gang violence and gun violence is dropping in the Smith Hill area due to sort of this dissipation of the gangs, where is it moving to?
So it's moving to it. Some people have flare-ups again. Hartford had its own issues that we were concerned about. There's a nightclub on the south side of Providence that both the police, the club license, and the institute were worried about already in the winter. It's Ada's Creation, and we need to pay a lot of attention there. That brought together about three gangs that we managed to mediate. It's a very serious conflict 3 and 4 years ago. But there's flare-ups when they meet at Ada's Creation at the nightclub there at Ada's. So that needs to be addressed. We're working on it now. We're applying pressure.
We're talking with Tenny Gross, Executive Director of the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence. Whether it's Smith Hill, Elmhurst, or South Providence, what are you and your people hearing about the relationship between police and the people who live in these communities?
I think the Providence Police has made great strides in the last 8 years or so in opening itself to the community, having community partners involved in decisions. But there's still a long way to go. People are afraid to testify. Just, you know, the American legal system in all its glory allows a defendant to find out who is accusing them. That's a beautiful thing, but it does cause fear. I'm not, by all means, I think we have to keep it. It's one of the bases of this society. It's not like in a dictatorship when you don't know who accuses you. But that creates a fundamental problem if people have used violence and that's people are intimidated. And working on that again, just like Institute works on reducing violence through relationship, the police has to always double up and work strongly on relationship with victims' families, etc. The Institute works with every shooting or homicide victim in the state, and we really see how important it is to develop relationships, support families, etc.
Speaking of communication, at the press conference where police announced the arrest of two suspects in the shooting death of a 12-year-old girl, Police Chief Clements and Public Safety Commissioner Stephen Perry both stressed that they got little to no help from the community. Are these residents afraid to talk? Is that the issue?
Yes. I mean, I think the commissioner particularly has been very vocal and constantly in every opportunity he gets, whether it's showing off guns that were bought in a buyback or a high-profile arrest, to appeal to the community. I think that's the right term. We don't want to blame the community. I think we want to appeal to the community to work more with the police, use tip lines, use relationship. It takes two to tango. The police really needs to make sure they're doing everything they can. And leaders in the community, whether it's churches and others, really need to stress with the community that the police is not the enemy, and we cannot allow crime to happen, because then more of it will happen.
And it's not fair to say that these people don't want to cooperate with police. Really, this is about their basic safety. They live in these neighborhoods. People know where they live. There's a lot of fear, it seems.
People do need to stand up. There are people in the community who tell young people, you will commit something, I will tell on you. And if enough people did that, people will not do it.
So how do you get people to talk?
I think it's a lot of discussions. We have here at the Institute now three summer programs. We have year-round employment for former gang members. We have summer program for young adults who are really at risk. And we have a camp for young kids. We introduce police officers to them. We talk with them about nonviolence. We talk about right and wrong, And I think I've done it now for 25 years. I'm a very strong believer, and research supports me, that conversation, legitimacy, giving people heads up. We're coming after you. Communicating with people seriously and honestly, being transparent, is the best way I know how to deal with that.
Tenny Gross, Executive Director of the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much for caring about this issue.